Now, more of the Sports Attack with Bob Black.
Well, welcome to the Attack, Bob Black. Nicoletta Heidegger, who is going to join us right now from Vivid Radio. And I'm going to let you talk about the name of your show, and then we're going to dive into it. And that's going to be the first question. Why the name of your show?
Oh, gosh. Well, you did say this is a show for all ages, but the name of our show is called Sluts and Scholars. And so the point of the show is basically to talk about, safer sex and sexual health and pleasure in a smart way.
Well, it makes sense for me, and you have the brains to do it, and I've seen your picture, so that's okay, too.
Thank you.
talk about the genesis of it. How did this get started for you?
So I myself am a marriage and family therapy associate, almost licensed therapist, and a sexologist, which means that I study human sexuality. And basically, there's, you know, always been judgment just about what I do and what that means. And a lot of people, I think, have judgments that folks who are into sex or who talk about sex freely and openly are people who are not maybe well-respected or seen as being able to do their job properly or being smart. And so we kind of try to challenge that you can be both smart and intelligent and informed and sexual. So that's kind of what we do. And we've talked to all people from, breast experts to burlesque performers to some of the most famous porn stars of all time, from everyone from Nina Hartley to Dita Von Teese to Sasha Gray. Like, we kind of run the gamut. And now to you, someone who talks about sports and other kinds of balls.
Well, this is true, too. And there is a certain amount of sexual energy in sports. People try to deny it. But, I truly believe when you're looking at hard bodies all the time, whether they're male or female, you're certainly going to get a reaction. I mean, I remember my ex talking about the fact she loved to go to a baseball game so she could watch the butts in the pants. And I'm like, well, okay, I can respect that.
I totally agree with your ex-wife. That's like the only reason my partner drags me to baseball games.
Well, and if that's what you're into, it's cool. Now, your athlete of the month is Shohei Ohtani, and
yes,
he's new on the scene. Now, it what's the appeal for him, or to him, I guess?
I'm still learning about baseball, but I think what's cool is that something we're talking about on our show is just how you can be diverse and be good at two different things at once and kind of shine in that. And so I think in that way, Ohtani is kind of similar, not that he's a slut and a scholar, maybe he is, but that he's both a pitcher and a hitter. And obviously everyone, has to do a little bit of both, but it seems like he excels equally at both, which is pretty rare as I'm learning.
Well, I mean, that's a pretty fair statement to make, and he has to adapt to a culture over here that's much more open. But over in Japan, it's kind of freaky deaky a little bit sometimes. They're so suppressed publicly in so many ways that sexually there's a lot going on behind the scenes that perhaps the public isn't aware of.
Yeah, I actually did do a trip to Japan last year, and so we were able to see some of that live. I'd be happy to share with you if you want to hear about it.
Absolutely.
Well, it was interesting. You know, we went to the area that's famous for, people who do a lot of gaming. And that area includes where some of the bigger sex shops are and things like maid cafes and massage parlors and things like that. And when we went to that area, it was definitely mostly male. When we went to one of the sex shops, it was a 7-story sex shop. And we were like the only women in there. And we were getting a lot of side eye, a lot of looks. A lot of the porn and things they release have the genitals blurred out. And so I've always found that to be interesting because they definitely feature some out there stuff from like tentacles to aliens to cartoons, but then they also blur things out. So, it's an interesting dynamic of people. And then for the women, I think there's a lot of focus on like that innocent sort of schoolgirl look, which is something that seems to be attractive to a lot of people in that culture.
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, the only tentacles I've ever been attracted to are on calamari, but, that's that's a discussion for a different
eating,
day.
In an eating, is that an eating way or?
Yes, exactly. You know, deep fried with a marinara sauce, but I guess we could go down that road too.
I support you, Bob. I support you and whatever it is you're into.
Absolutely. And I could devour any number of things. In today's day and age, women are trying to become empowered. I believe most women are empowered, but there's still a stigma, as you said, for expressing sexuality. But there's also a double-edged sword right now in that men are becoming very hesitant because of the possibility of being accused of sexual harassment. It's a difficult line to walk. And advice for men, how do they go about doing that, you know, particularly if they see somebody in the workplace that they're attracted to?
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with you. I think that while it's great that we've started the conversation with everything from the Me Too movement to all of that, we haven't really given any of the education or discussion to younger men about how to navigate that and how to navigate their desires and their sexuality in a way that's like healthy and appropriate. But then after the fact, we're getting upset with them. So not to say that, you know, people can't take responsibility for their own stuff and education. I think we could do more as a culture to explore like, well, what now? Like the question you're asking. I think if you have to ask yourself, like, if something is assault versus a compliment in the workplace, then you're probably on the wrong path of how to, you know, talk to somebody in the workspace. I think that, you know, if someone is really worried about that, it's first to ask yourself, like, would I say this to a coworker of all genders? And is what I'm saying targeted in a way that explores like respect and a mutual, you know, interest, or am I doing it to feel powerful, to embarrass the person, to objectify them in a way that just is talking about their physical appearance? What do you think about that?
Well, I mean, I understand the perspective, but I mean, I also understand the perspective of a guy who could say something that he perceives as an innocent comment. That he could, in your criteria, say to a man or a woman, yet within the workplace, once he's accused, that's it. The career is over.
Yeah. Can you think of any examples maybe that you've heard or that you could come up with that you would say to both men and women in a workspace that would be deemed as, you know, harassment?
With that, I would say to both? Oh, I mean, I could compliment somebody on their hair.
Yeah, like you look nice today.
Well, no, not just on their hair. I'll be even specific.
Yeah.
Your hair looks really good today. I've said that to coworkers of men who have gotten a fresh haircut. And it was like, wow, thanks a lot, man. Yeah, I think it looks pretty good. And I could say it to a woman and she's upset.
Yeah, I think it is circumstantial. And that's why it gets difficult. I think a lot of people would say that a lot of women have argued that the workplace is not a space for compliments on physical appearance at all. And I know maybe that sounds extreme and not every woman would agree with that. Some people say they like to get compliments at work. And so I think everyone maybe has a different spectrum for like when it becomes inappropriate. You know, like for some, it might just be a compliment about their physical appearance at all. And they would argue like, well, you can compliment me on how I'm working and how I am as a worker and my intelligence as opposed to my physical appearance. Or someone would totally be fine with like you complimenting their hair and that. But, you know, what would be too extreme would be like, you know, your figure looks great in those pants.
Right. No. And that's a fair statement. I have no argument with that. But what I'm saying is this. It you know, obviously, if you don't know the person particularly well, you haven't been working with them very long or whatever the circumstances are. I mean, for a lot of people, men and women, you don't want to meet perhaps your future spouse in a bar necessarily. Mm-hmm. So where are the options?
With someone?
Yeah. I mean, you know, so where are the options? You're meeting them at school. You're meeting them perhaps in the workplace. You're meeting them through introductions, through friends, which, you know, is great. But sometimes your friends don't always have the best taste when it comes to meeting potential spouses. So there are certain limitations. And it's awkward for a man in this perspective that, okay, now I see somebody that I've worked with. we have work in common. We respect each other's work. Perhaps that's already been discussed before.
Mm-hmm.
How do I go about?
What?
Yeah, but how do I go about approaching them socially? And it's almost now it's off limits.
Yeah.
Which is sad in a way because it's restrictive for both parties involved. Perhaps the woman is interested in the man too. Does she have to take the initiative and reach out to the man, or is that sexual harassment too?
Yeah, I mean, I think a couple things, and you know, obviously, I can't speak for every woman, so my opinion is just my own opinion of like how I would prefer it. You know, if someone were to approach me, but you know, I'm sure if you ask 10 different women, you would get 20 different answers.
Right.
So,
right.
I think my own perspective is, you know, for someone to first, like you said, have that established mutual respect. So I think the first question is, are they above me at work? You know, if they're my boss or someone who's superior, I think sometimes that's where it gets muddy if we're talking about power dynamics and people in their jobs. Like, could my interest in this person lose my job? And I think that's where it gets muddy. So if you're at like a similar level position, I think that opens it up more to where there's not that worry over a power dynamic. I think the second thing would be to, you know, establish a mutual respect, to get to know somebody for who they are as a person, not just how they look that day, to be interested and curious about what they like to do, and to, you know, give comments and support in a way that's respectful, that brings them up, you know, about their job, about their intelligence, about their capabilities, about their successes. And then to take it to the next level, you know, if you do want to do something romantic, to be honest about that, but not in just like a, hey, you look, you know, your ass looks great in those pants kind of way.
Right,
say
right.
Something like, you know, I've really enjoyed getting to know you in a work capacity. I would really love to know you in a more personal thing. Like, would you be open to going on a date? And then I think where it really gets important is how you respond to how they respond. So, you know, if they respond with like discomfort, aren't interested, to not push that, you know, to say, oh, you know, I'm so sorry. I, you know, don't want to be inappropriate. I respect you as a worker, and leave it at that. As opposed to being like, oh, come on, I just wanted to give you a compliment, or like, you know, come on, like none of that pushiness. So that's how I would prefer to be approached. What do you think?
Yeah, no, that's fair. As much as I would like to continue this, we're going to have to wrap it up, unfortunately.
Well, you're going to be on our show soon, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll continue it, but please give my audience the 411 on your social platforms.
Absolutely. So if you want to get in touch or have more questions about what we talked about today or about Atani, which I can't promise I can answer, you can find me at Ms. Heidegger, MSHEIDEGGER on Instagram and Twitter. And you can also follow our show, Sluts and Scholars, at Sluts and Scholars on Instagram, at Sluts Scholars on Twitter. And you can hear our show from 2 to 3 p.m. on Tuesdays and Thursdays, Vivid Radio.
Thanks, Nicoletta. Appreciate the couple minutes.
Thanks so much.
So here's Ohtani, first major league at bat, and he'll swing and bounce one through the right side, of base hit. Jumped on that first pitch, and there's his first big league knock.
That's a good start to your career.